She thinks someone like me could be friends with someone like her. Doesn't she know that I can barely stand people in general, let alone my own group of friends? How shall I begin the list of reasons why this would never work? Well, for starters, you're too uptight. You probably grew up in some perfect little model home that looks like every other house on the block, I begin, thinking of the black mold covering the ceiling in my childhood bedroom. Your parents probably bought you everything you ever asked for, and you never had to want for anything, with your stupid pleated skirts. I look at the outfit she's wearing now, ignoring the way the material rests on her full hips. I mean, honestly, who dresses like that at 18? Her mouth falls open and she steps toward me. I back away without thinking. I can tell by the stormy grey of her eyes that I'm in for it.
You know nothing about me, you condescending jerk. My life is nothing like that. My alcoholic dad left us when I was 10, and my mother worked her ass off to make sure I could go to college. I got my own job as soon as I turned 16 to help with bills, and I happen to like my clothes.
She waves her hands toward her outfit, shouting now, so frustrated that her small hands are shaking.
Sorry if I don't dress like a slut like all the girls around you. For someone who tries too hard to stand out and be different, you sure are judgmental about people who are different from you.
And with that, she turns away from me to face the door. Is she telling the truth? Is this perfect girl actually caught up in the unfortunate cycle of kids having to grow up too fast? If so, why is she smiling every time I see her? Judgmental? She's calling me judgmental after labeling girls who dress a certain way sluts. She's staring at me now, waiting for my reaction, but I don't have one. I'm rendered speechless by this fiery, judgmental, intriguing woman.
You know what? I don't want to be friends with you anyway, she says,
before my brain pulls out of its stupor. Tessa reaches for the door handle, and I think back to Seth, my first friend in my life. His family had no money either, but when one of his rich grandparents he didn't know died, he got a pretty penny. His ratty shoes were traded in for white ones with lights on the bottom. I thought they were so cool. I asked my mum for a pair once for my birthday. She gave me a sad smile, and on the morning of my birthday, she handed me a shoebox. I was so excited to tear the thing open, expecting those damn light-up shoes. Inside the box was a pair of shoes, all right, but with none of those pretty lights on the bottom. I could tell the gift made her sad, but I didn't quite understand why until the months went by, and I started to see Seth less and less until one day. The only time I got to see him was when he walked past my house with his new friends, all wearing light-up shoes. He was my first and last friend, and my life has been much more simple without friendship.
Where are you going?
I ask Tessa, a girl who thought we could be friends. She pauses, confused, just like I am.
To the bus stop, so I can go back to my room and never, ever come back here again. I am done trying to be friends with any of you.
I feel like a complete shit. On the one hand, having her hate me will be better in the long run. But on the other, well, I want her to like me enough to fuck me. She can hate me after I win the bet. It's too late to take the bus alone, I say. Looking the way she does, and the fact that she's been drinking liquor all night, it would be a really fucking bad idea for her to go to the bus stop by herself. She spins around to face me, and I realize for the first time there are tears in her eyes.
You're not seriously trying to act like you care if something happens to me?
Tessa laughs, shaking her head. I'm not saying I do. I'm just warning you. It's a bad idea, I tell her. I glance at my bookshelf, comparing her to Catherine, the main female character in the book she was reading when I walked in. She's a lot like her. Moody and with too much to prove. Elizabeth Bennet is the same, always opening her mouth with some emphatic point to make. I like it. College girls these days just seem to have lost the spunk. They only want to please men, not themselves. And where's the fun in that?
Well, Harden. I don't have any other options. Everyone is drunk, including myself.
She starts to cry all over again. I soften a little. Why is she crying? She's always crying, it seems. I try to cheer her up the only way I know how, with sarcasm. Do you always cry at parties?
Apparently, whenever you're at them. And since these are the only ones I've ever been to.
Tessa opens my door, but as she goes to leave, she stumbles and grips the edge of my dresser. Teresa, my voice is soft, softer than I knew it could be.
You okay?
I ask. She nods. She looks confused, pissed, and stunning. Mostly pissed, though. Do I care if she's okay? She's sick and drunk, and there's no way in hell I'm going to try and score points against Zed tonight. I don't want to, and that would be cheating anyway. She's far too drunk. Why don't you just sit down for a few minutes? Then you can go to the bus stop, I suggest. Maybe I'll win some points for being the nice guy.
I thought no one was allowed in your room.
Her voice is soft and full of curiosity as she sits on my floor. If she knew all the shit that has been on that floor, she wouldn't be sitting there, I'm sure. I find myself smiling, and the moment I realize what I'm doing, I stop immediately. I make myself clear. She nods and hiccups, looking as if she's going to puke any second. If you throw up in my room, I warn. She'll be cleaning that shit up, that's for sure.
I think I just need some water,
Tessa tells me. I hand her my cup. Here. Her hand pushes against the cup as she rolls her eyes in annoyance.
I said water, not beer.
It is water. I don't drink. She snorts.
Hilarious. You're not going to sit here and babysit, are you?
Hell yes, I am. I'm not going to leave her alone in here to fuck with my shit or throw up all over my books.
You bring out the worst in me.
Her comment surprises me out of my silence.
That's harsh,
I snap at her. I bring out the worst in her. She doesn't even know me. I continue. And yes, I am going to sit here and babysit you. You're drunk for the first time in your life, and you have a habit of touching my things when I'm not around. I sit down on my bed as she cautiously takes a drink of my water. Thought so. The room is probably beginning to spin for her. Poor girl. I watch her carefully as she gulps down the water. The way her eyes close and she licks her lips when she's finished. The way she breathes too heavily. I stare at her without her noticing, and try my damnedest not to overthink why I'm staring at her in the first place. There's just so damn much that I don't know about her. So many things I want to know. She seems so readable from the outside. She's blonde, beautiful in a simple way, and I can tell by the old-fashioned way she speaks that she spends hours and hours with her face buried in a book. Yet her temper and the giant chip on her shoulder make me wonder what's underneath all that. Can I ask you a question? I speak without thinking. I try and smile at her, but I get the feeling that I look like a fucking creep. Her brows push together.
Sure,
she says, drawing out her answer. What the hell am I going to ask her? I had kind of assumed she would tell me to go to hell. I go for the easiest question I can think of. What do you want to do after college? I know that I should have asked something more personal, something to help me win this game with Zed. Tessa seems to ponder the question, tapping her finger against her chin before she answers.
Well, I want to be an author or a publisher, whichever comes first.
I could see that, easily. I don't tell her that I plan to do the exact same thing. Instead, I stare blankly ahead after rolling my eyes.
Are those your books?
Tessa waves toward my bookshelves.
They are,
I mumble.
Which is your favorite?
Fucking Christ, she's nosy. I don't play favorites, I lie. She's getting too personal, and she's been in here a while. Her knowing my favorite books won't help me get what I want. I need to turn this around, make it less personal. I need to annoy her. Does Mr. Rogers know you're at a party again? My smirk compliments her scowl. Mission accomplished.
Mr. Rogers?
Your boyfriend, I explain. He's the biggest tool I have ever seen.
Don't talk about him like that. He is... nice.
I can't help but laugh at the way she fumbles for a compliment about her loafer-wearing boyfriend. She waves a finger at me.
You could only dream of being as nice as he is.
Nice? That's the first word that comes to your mind when talking about your boyfriend. Nice is your nice way of calling him boring, I laugh.
You don't know him,
she insists with admittedly impressive fearlessness.
Well, I know that he's boring. I could tell by his cardigan and loafers.
I'm laughing now, really laughing, and my stomach tightens. I can't help it. When I look up at her pissed off expression, I laugh harder, imagining the human Ken doll whining over a hole in his cashmere sweater.
He doesn't wear loafers.
Tessa covers her mouth to hide her need to laugh. I get it. I would laugh too. She takes another drink of my water and I keep going.
Well, he's been dating you for 2 years and hasn't fucked you yet. I would say he's a square.
As my words hit the air, Tessa spits water back into the cup.
What the hell did you just say?
You heard me, Teresa. I smile at her, fueling her anger.
You're an asshole, Harden.
Man, I love how fiery she gets when cold water splashes against my face. I gasp, surprised by her audacity. I thought we were having fun, throwing rude comments back and forth. I was purposely aggravating her, and it seemed that she was enjoying getting riled up just as much as I enjoyed riling her. By the disgusted expression on her face, it occurs to me that maybe she doesn't. Why the hell did I even bring up her boyfriend in the first place? I'm a damn idiot. She was fine, sitting in my room, laughing with me, and I had to ruin it. Tessa leaves my room quickly as I wipe the water from my face and step into my doorway, watching as she takes the staircase 2 steps at a time. Back in my room, the quiet hum of my ceiling fan is my only company. I sit down on my bed, and for the first time since I moved into the house, I wish I wasn't alone in this room. Chapter 9. The moment her lips touched his for the first time, he felt it. He felt a shift somewhere deep inside, somewhere hidden and covered in dust. It was completely untouched since he could remember, likely forever. She awakened him, brought him light and laughter and longing, and he knew from the moment her mouth found his, he would never be the same. Tessa just threw water in my face and left my room in a storm of huffs and puffs and eye rolls. Yet here I am, following her down the stairs after only a few minutes of sitting in my room, whining to myself like a little child throwing a fit over his favorite toy breaking. Only Tessa isn't my favorite toy. She's too shiny, too new for my dirty hands to play with. I was only trying to lighten her mood, to cheer her up, but I obviously failed. I should have known that bringing up the subject of her lame-ass boyfriend would be a trigger for her temper. She's so annoying. She feels entitled and she's moody. Overly sensitive, she is, and she pisses me the fuck off. Who throws a drink? Water. But still, into someone's face like that. For someone who thinks so highly of themselves, she sure does behave like a petulant child. When I get to the bottom of the stairs, Tess is in the kitchen, taking a drink from a bottle of liquor. She's looking around the room for someone, and as I watch her, my phone goes off in my pocket. Another text from Ken. Karen's making dinner tonight if you want to stop by. There's something I want to talk to you about. You haven't responded to my other texts, so I figured one at 3 a.m. would at least get to you when you were awake. Something he wants to talk to me about. I have better things to do, like show Zed who's really the king here. I look back to where Tessa's standing and notice that Zed's joined her. Of course that creep is by her side the moment I'm not around. Tessa's still drinking. She shouldn't be drinking this much. She's going to feel like absolute shit tomorrow. Of course, this is how Zed plans to get her.
Look how cute they are.
I hear a voice, and glancing over, I find Steph next to me, a wine cooler in her hand. Her red hair is messy, falling down around her face. I look back to Zed and Tessa, this time paying more attention to the way she sighs while staring directly into his eyes. She seems comfortable. Her shoulders are relaxed and her eyes are soft. Nothing like how she is around me. She doesn't know Zed any better than she knows me. So why the difference? Is it because, unlike me, he leans against the countertop with his eyes focused only on her eyes? He doesn't let her chest distract him. He leans into her as she smiles at him. He's going the good cop to my bad cop route, it would seem. Damn, he's better than I'd imagined. Tessa looks toward the door, and Steph jumps back, pulling my arm. I nudge her off. Steph's eyes are bloodshot, her pupils tiny black dots in a sea of red.
Don't tell her I'm here. I'm sick of babysitting her, she says, and rolls her eyes.
Steph doesn't even try to play nice when Tessa's not around. Grade A bitch. A drunk blonde in a skin-tight dress passes by, winking at me. I remember her, I think. You brought her here, I remind Steph, keeping my voice light. I'm not interested in this at all. Not even sure why I brought it up, really.
So? I'm bored with her for tonight, and she's for you two to play with, remember?
She shrugs and walks away from me.
Well, you're going to lose if you just stand around like a creep,
Steph shouts as she reaches the front door and takes the hand of that weird dude she was complaining about just last week. I'm going to lose. Please. No chance. But I'm also not going to stand here in this doorway like a damn creep. I walk back into the living room and find a seat on the couch. I'll wait for her to come to me. She's going to get bored with Zed and his stupid conversation about science and plants, saving the world one flower at a time, all that bullshit. I suppose he believes it, maybe, but with that guy you can never really tell either way. More likely he knows on some subconscious level that only plants can stand to be around him. In due course, Tessa finds her way into the living room. Zed latched onto her side like a damn lost puppy. She doesn't even notice that I'm in the same room as she sits down on the floor with my crew, only a few feet away. I feel a squeeze on my bicep and turn just as the blonde from a moment ago wraps her arms around my stomach, holding me tight.
Harden,
she says with such a drunk lilt that I suddenly can't tell if she's trying to molest me or just keep the room from spinning.
It's good to see you again. Be even better to feel you.
I push her back a little, trying to disengage. But alcohol has made her a persistent octopus, and she grabs me again. Finally, I shift over near one of the frat brothers, whose name I can never remember, and wrap one of her arms around his shoulder. Sure enough, the rest of her follows suit, and she slurs,
Steve, long time no see.
As I sneak off, my annoyance with the night rising with each step my boots make across the stained carpet.
Do the buses run all night?
I hear Tessa ask, clearly gone past buzzed and straight into drunk now. Her voice is thicker. I watch her lips, the bottom one popping out more than the top. She's speaking slowly, teetering on the line of slurring her words. I force myself to stop listening to her and walk back into the kitchen. She's not my problem. I have no reason to care if she's drunk or not. Less than 10 seconds later, I turn the corner and go back into the living room, my feet stopping in front of where Tessa sits on the floor. When she sees me, this snotty girl rolls her eyes. She seems to do this a hell of a lot. Not to Zed, though. Never to Zed. You and Zed, then? I raise a brow at her, and she stumbles as she gets to her feet. How much did she drink? Her eyes are clear as they meet mine. I can't tell. I reach out for her arm as she pushes past.
Let go of me, Harden!
Her arms fly into the air, and I try not to laugh at her dramatics. Her eyes move around the room like she's looking for something to throw at me.
I'm just trying to find out about the bus.
She pushes past me, her shoulder bumping into mine, and I gently grab hold of her arm to steady her. Chill out. It's 3 a.m. There is no bus. I let go of her arm and watch realization hit her. Your newfound alcoholic lifestyle has you stuck here again. The humor in this is undeniable. She's so adamant about hating this scene, yet here she is again, staying the night. She stares blankly at me, all big eyes and pouty lips, and I take a moment to pour salt onto her wounded ego. Unless you want to go home with Zed. I nod toward the living room, and she scowls. Without a word, she walks off. What's the point of this? Me following her around, trying to get a rise out of her. There's no point, and really it's a waste of my time. She seems to play the game just as well as I do. When I get back to my room, I grab a book from the shelf and pull my shirt up and over my head, tossing it onto the floor, and then adding my jeans to the mess. I open the novel to a random page and begin to read. What use were anger and protestations against her silly credulity? We parted that night, hostile. But next day beheld me on the road to Wuthering Heights, by the side of my willful young mistress's pony. I couldn't bear to witness her sorrow, to see her pale, dejected countenance and heavy eyes. And I yielded, in the faint hope that Linton himself might prove, by his reception of us, how little of the tale was founded on fact. A blonde Catherine sat there, at the edge of the moors, with her hair tied back in a bow, as red as the blood running through his veins. She wasn't thinking. She was lost. She turned to him, her voice ringing through the air between them.
Harden!
Catherine's voice is loud. So loud it's breaking through my sleep. Am I dreaming?
Harden! Harden, please open the door!
I jump out of my bed, confused and panicked as the knob on my door jingles. Fists pound against the door.
Harden!
The voice screams again. Is that? I unlock the door and yank it open. Tess is standing there, her face flushed in horror and her eyes wild with fear. The hair on my neck stands, and I go into instant defense mode. Tess? I wipe my eyes to gain some clarity, trying to dispel the dream, get a focus on what's going on.
Harden, please can I come in? This guy.
Tessa looks back down the hallway, so I step out to see what she's so scared of. Neil is walking toward us, his eyes bloodshot and his shirt stained. He's disgusting. And when he stumbles into the wall, I see just how drunk he is. Why is she running from him? Did he? Neil's eyes meet mine, and he stops immediately. If he knows what's good for him, he will turn the fuck around and walk away. If not, Tessa and all these people in the hallway, people who didn't seem to want to help her, might be in for a show. I look back at her quickly, to make sure he didn't do anything to cause me to have to hide his body when the police come.
Do you know him?
She asks, her voice cracking. I feel my hands shaking at my sides. Yeah, get inside. I lead her into my room and sit down on my bed. Her grey eyes watch me intensely, and I rub my eyes again. Are you okay? I ask. She looks okay. Nervous, maybe. But she's not crying. This is a good sign, I think.
Yeah,
she says softly.
Yes, I'm sorry for coming here and waking you up. I just didn't know what.
Tessa's words come out fast and shaky. She's saying sorry for waking me up. I run my hand over my hair, pushing it back from my forehead. Don't worry about it. I notice the way her hands, like mine, are shaking. And I ask the question that's been raking at my mind since I opened the door. Did he touch you? Murderous ideas float through my mind, No one would miss Neil, that's for sure.
No,
she starts, then hesitates.
He tried, though. I was stupid enough to lock myself in a room with a drunk stranger, so I suppose it's my fault.
Her fault? What the fuck? It's not your fault that he did that. You aren't used to this type of situation. I try to keep my voice calm and not frighten her further. I've seen this happen to a lot of girls in my life, from my own mum to drunk girls at parties. I had to save Molly's drunk ass from Neil just last year. I thought he would have learned his lesson when I broke his nose and dislocated his shoulder, but I guess not. He obviously needs a refresher course. Logan will help, just like last time. Tessa walks toward me, and I pat the empty spot next to me on the bed. She sits down and places her hands in her lap. Her vulnerable expression suddenly makes me realize that I'm wearing nothing but black boxers. I want to put something else on, but I don't want to draw her attention to the fact, and I don't want her to feel more uncomfortable since she came in here for escape, for peace.
I have no plans on getting used to it. This really is the last time I'm coming here, or to any parties, for that matter. I don't know why I even tried. And that guy, he was just so...
She shivers, and tears start falling down her cheeks.
Don't cry, Tess,
I whisper, and bring my hand to her cheek. My thumb catches the wet tears as they fall, and she sniffles. It's such an innocent, vulnerable sound that I try to look away from her, but can't. I hadn't noticed how grey your eyes are, I confess. I haven't paid much attention to details beyond her breasts and her susceptibility to my games until now. I was too busy, too shallow. But then I stop myself. No, I'm a liar. I've been paying attention to the tiniest things about this girl since the moment I saw her. My hand still rests on her cheek, and she's still staring at me, full lips parted. I bring my metal lip ring between my teeth and tug on it the way I always do. Her eyes are glued to my mouth, and just as I pull my hand away, she leans closer, pressing her mouth against mine. I take a sharp breath, caught completely off guard. What is she doing? What the fuck am I doing? But I don't stop. Can't stop. I'm running my tongue along her soft lips. I'm swallowing her small gasps as I cup her cheeks between my hands. She's sighing into my mouth, as if she's relieved to be kissing me. Her skin is hot. Her mouth is gentle and nervous, and I move my hands to her hips. When I taste the vodka on her tongue, I pull back. Tess, I breathe into her mouth. She sighs, and I swipe my tongue across her lips, parting them again. I gasp, trying to clear my mind. How did we get to this? I feel cool, the opposite of the fire inside of me. It feels good. It's a relief from the constant burn. I've never felt this sense of calm before. It's threatening. My mind is no longer in charge. The feel of her mouth on mine has taken over all sense. I pull her closer, tightening my grip on her hips, and lie back on the mattress. She climbs up onto my torso and rests her hands on my chest. Her tongue teases mine, never leaving my mouth. She's so good at this. Fuck, is she good at this? Her hair falls down onto my skin, and I pull my mouth away from hers. The whimper that leaves her lips when I do this makes me instantly hard. She wants me. Her hands are moving up and down my chest now, testing her limits. I can tell. I won't let this go too far. Not tonight. She's been drinking, and that's not my thing. I want her. Hell. I want to fuck her over and over again. I will feel her, all of her, but not tonight. She's a virgin, but how far has she gone with her boyfriend? Has he had her like this, on top of him when he's wearing only boxers, rocking her hips over his, teasing him like this? Is this how she really is with him, only to seem all prim and prude to the outside world? Has his tongue traced along the soft skin of her neck, By the way she's gasping under the touch of my tongue against her skin, I would say no. She moans, and I hold her hair as I kiss her neck. I move my mouth lower, gently nipping at her collarbones, and she moans again, saying my name under her breath. I bring her mouth to mine, and she continues to rock against me. I know she can feel how hard I am, how badly I want her.
Harden, stop,
she moans, her tongue still running gently over mine.
Harden,
she repeats. I pull back and look at her. Her lips are swollen, sinfully pink, and her eyes are wild.
We can't,
she says. Her fingers leave my skin, and the dull burn turns to ice. I knew it wouldn't last. It was just a heat-of-the-moment type thing. It was a moment I wanted to keep going. But everything must end, in the end. I pull myself up onto my elbows, and she rolls off of me, to the other side of the bed.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Her voice is low, raspy, and she sure as hell doesn't sound sorry by the heavy breaths falling from her lips and the way her eyes can't seem to look away from my mouth. Looking at her, I think about this book I read where the women in the town vow to stop saying sorry in their everyday lives. It was quite interesting, the way they realized 90% of the sorries they were giving were for things they weren't responsible for. If Tessa lived in that town, she would fit right in. Sorry for what? I say as calmly as possible, and stand up to dig through the messy drawer full of black t-shirts. As I pull one on, I see her looking at me, down to my boxers, and she blushes.
For kissing you.
Why would she apologize for kissing me? If she doesn't want to do anything with me, I don't want her to. But I didn't give her any signals that I didn't want the same thing. It was just a kiss. I kiss people all the time. I purposely keep my voice neutral, since I don't want to make her feel worse. She already regrets this and is ready to run for the hills any second. I know it, and if she does, I have to chase her. I can't strike out this early in the game when I've already made progress. I've had her hands on me. I've tasted her tongue. I've already had her panting, wanting more. I have the upper hand over Zed now, and I can't let that slip. She's going to make a way bigger deal out of this than need be. If I comfort her now, she's much more likely to trust me, and that trust will lead to me having another chance to get even further next time. She stares at the floor, again. She's already so full of regret that she can't even look at me. I don't like how this feels. She can't regret it already. If she doesn't get past this, I'm fucked, and Zed is going to win.
Can we not make a big deal of it, then?
Tessa asks. Trust me, I don't want anyone to know about this either. Now stop talking about it. She winces at my words, and I wish I could take them back. I'm terrible at this shit.
So you're back to your old self, I see.
Her eyes are sharpening now, preparing for a battle. I want to snap at her, but I keep my mouth shut. She doesn't know a damn thing about me. It pisses me off that she thinks after a few encounters with me, she's some sort of hardened Scott fucking expert. She thinks she's so much better than me, and she's terrified that people might find out she kissed me because, well, I'm me and she's Little Miss Perfect. I can't keep my mouth shut. I was never anyone else, I tell her. Don't think because you kissed me, basically against my will. We have some sort of bond now. I can feel my words slam into her like a goddamn battering ram, and she gets to her feet. Her fury is clear in her wide eyes. A modern-day Joan of Arc, getting ready to burn me at the stake.
You could have stopped me,
she seethes. Her hands ball into tight fists that she must think are made of fire. My mouth reacts before I can think of anything to say. Hardly. Tessa sighs and brings her hands to cover her face. I look away. She's so emotional, and that's not even the strange part. The act of being emotional is normal, I suppose. But she's just so open to it. I'm not her friend or her family, And here she is throwing her emotions around like I've known her my whole life. She's not afraid to show me how she feels. She doesn't seem to mind being exposed like this. Teresa Young is such a maddening mystery to me. She's so open and fragile, yet guarded and sharp like glass. I can't figure her out. It's pretty damn strange. The ease she seems to feel about allowing me to see her this way is slightly endearing, but it's still strange. You can stay in here tonight since you don't have anywhere else to go, I quietly offer. Tessa shakes her head, her hands on her full hips, and she scowls at me. I want to tell her that maybe I'm sorry for being harsh to her. Maybe I sometimes say shit that I shouldn't. But why use energy on a stranger? She doesn't know me, and she never will.
No, thanks.
When she disappears down the hallway, I grip the doorframe and silently wish her a good night's sleep, knowing that I won't get one. Tessa, I quietly call after her, unsure if I actually want her to hear. Chapter 10. He was always stubborn from the beginning. She pushed buttons he didn't know he had, and made him think of the world in a different way. He never expected anything to come from this game of his, and he never knew how each glance from her, each smile she awarded him with, was changing him. He grew protective of her from early on, and he didn't recognize when his protection turned to control. He tried to fight it, but he wasn't strong enough, until it was too late. It's been 20 minutes since she stormed off, and I can't find her anywhere. Why can't she be like Molly or any of the other girls I've hooked up with and come running back? How is it that she's so strong-willed? Knowing her, the little bit that I do know about this girl, leads me to believe she's going to shatter every preconceived thought I had about girls in general. Fucking yay. This will be fun. She left, dude. Logan walks into the kitchen with a bottle of vodka in his hands. Left? She wouldn't actually leave. She doesn't even know how to get back to campus, and her ancient phone won't be any help if she's lost. No way. I shake my head and reach for an empty cup. When I turn the faucet on, Nate is looking at me with one brow raised and a stupid grin on his face. What, fucker? I ask him, chugging the water.
Nothing, man.
He laughs and shares a shitty look with Logan. Am I missing something here? My hand waves between the two of them. Nope. Logan puts his hand on my shoulder, and I move away.
Why are you looking for her, exactly? Why do you think?
I say quickly, unsure whether I'm lying to them or snapping back into the bet. Yes, I'm still into the game, but at this moment, I just want to know where the fuck she went.
Right.
Nate nudges Logan like me and my mates used to nudge each other when we were in grade school.
Well, she's gone anyway. I saw her walk out the front door.
And you just let her?
Let her? Why would I care if she walked outside and left?
You shouldn't care either.
I thought,
Nate says, his eyes meeting Logan's.
Where's Zed?
I ask them. Hopefully the question will make them think I'm more worried about him getting a leg up on me than anything else. They both shake their heads and shrug their shoulders, and go back to shooting the shit together like they've already lost interest in all of this. As I walk away from them, my hands ball into fists. Maybe she called a friend to pick her up. Does the girl even have any friends? She seems like the judgmental type that no one would actually want to be friends with. Like me, in that way. Except she's slightly more likable. Slightly. I'm sure she isn't stupid enough to try to walk 3 miles back to her dorm. Stupid enough? No. Stubborn enough? Hell fucking yes she is. I walk through the halls upstairs one more time to be sure she actually left the house. My room is empty. I was hoping she would be annoying and break into my room again. I was kind of hoping I would catch her sitting on my bed with one of my books in her hands. But no, of course she had to be ridiculously difficult and leave the house. Alone. Alone. Fucking hell. She's walking the damn streets alone. What kind of... God damn it. She pisses me off. Could we have chosen a more difficult girl for the bet? Not bloody likely.
Nate!
I shout his name over the music as I rush down the stairs.
What? You in a hurry?
He says to me, a slow smirk rising to his face. I slow down as I reach the bottom.
Nah, I just...
I push my hair back from my forehead. I'm looking for that brunette, the one wearing a black tank top. Huge tits. I hold my hands out in front of my chest to mimic having this made-up woman's body. Nate's eyes lower and he smiles. I can barely see the words inked into the inside of his bottom lip when he says,
Oh, I get it.
He winks and Logan laughs.
Well, I'm going to go find her.
I turn away from them quickly. I can hear their faint shit-talking as I walk away. I leave the house without looking back and get into my car. The streets are empty. Completely fucking empty, and she's nowhere to be found. After a few more circles around the block, I decide to just head to her dorm. She has to be there by now. Has to be. When I get to the dorm, I realize I've been out for about 2 hours already. At her room, the door opens without any hesitation, and I find Steph and Tristan lying on her bed. Her shirt is off, her hands roaming his shirtless body. She removes her mouth from his and sits up.
Can I help you?
Steph licks her lips, smearing the last bit of lipstick down across her mouth.
Where's Teresa?
I ask them. Tristan reaches for his shirt, and Steph grabs it from him, tossing it on the floor.
Well?
I push.
Not here. We passed her on the way.
Steph latches her mouth onto Tristan's neck and I gag.
Passed her? You saw her walking and you didn't pick her up?
I bend down and grab Tristan's shirt, tossing it to him, covering both of their faces with it. Tristan moves from the bed and I back away toward the door.
Steph told me not to stop, he says while getting dressed. What the fuck?
I turn to her. She chuckles.
She's fine. She could use some walking.
Hey.
Tristan nudges her, a disapproving look clear on his face. Steph rolls her eyes.
Get dressed, both of you, and leave.
She should be here soon, I say to them.
This is my room. I'm not leaving,
Steph says.
Come on.
I scramble for a reason for her to leave. I need some alone time with her. She laughs.
For what? To fuck her?
To work toward that, yes.
Let's just go to my place.
Nate probably won't be there,
Tristan says, and tucks Steph's hair behind her ear. She smiles, nodding in agreement. Once the room is empty, I sit down on Tessa's bed. As I'm trying to decide whether or not to look through her stuff out of curiosity, the door opens. There she stands in the doorway, looking a few inches taller, her hands in tight fists. Her eyes are wide. She's bursting at the seams with carefully held back irritation. When I smile at her, she tears up.
You've got to be kidding me!
Her voice is high and loud as she throws her hands into the air.
Where were you?
I calmly ask her, my tone the opposite of the fire quickly growing inside of her. I drove around trying to find you for almost 2 hours.
What? Why?
She asks me, her expression a mixture of exasperation and confusion. Her cheeks are pink from the cool fall air, and her hair is windblown, not the neatly curled mop I'm used to seeing on her. I struggle to say something to explain it all, but only come up with,
I don't think it's a good idea for you to be walking around at night, alone.
She bursts into laughter. Laughter, of all things. What is wrong with her? Her laugh is wild, completely opposite to her controlled smiles and faked laughs. She looks half mad.
Get out, Harden! Just get out!
She says as her laughter grows softer.
Teresa, I'm...
But a pounding at the door interrupts me.
Teresa? Teresa Young, you opened this door!
A woman's voice shrieks through the air.
Oh my God! Harden, get in the closet!
Tessa whispers, grabbing my arm and yanking me from the bed.
I'm not hiding in the closet. You're 18, I argue.
Tessa rushes over to the mirror, closely inspecting her face and smoothing down her wild hair. She hurries to the other side of the room with a tube of toothpaste in her hand, squeezes a dollop from it, and rubs it onto her tongue. It's like I'm watching a teenage girl get caught sneaking out of her mummy's house. She's frantic as she walks to the door. Her hand shakes when she turns the brass knob.
Hey, what are you guys doing here?
Tessa asks her mum as she walks through the door. Her mother commands the room for the brief moment before another person joins us. It's the guy from before, Noah. I can see that Tessa's mum is coming straight toward me, but I'm too focused on the boy. Tessa's boyfriend, the infamous Noah. His blonde hair is a few shades lighter than Tessa's, and his cardigan is smooth, resting over his neatly pressed khaki pants. It's kind of amazing that at this early point in the morning, he so resembles a freshly minted preppy action figure, still in the packaging. But why is he here? Are they that serious? Did he call her mum like some sort of morality police? Her mother takes a deep breath and then lets it all out.
So this is why you haven't been answering your phone? Because you have this.
She waves her hands around in the same way her daughter does.
This tattooed troublemaker in your room at 6 a.m.
Tattooed troublemaker? What is with these women and their primary school insults? Tessa squares her shoulders, and I watch as her back straightens, ready for a fight. Well, now I know where Tessa gets her judgmental bullshit. Also where she got her frame, curves, and fire. She's shooting daggers at her mum, but the woman doesn't seem to notice the way her daughter's fingers are digging crescents into her palm, or the way the skin on her neck has turned slightly pink. She doesn't seem to notice. Neither does Mr. Rogers. This irritates me, that Tessa is being chastised for behaving like a normal college freshman. If anything, she's much tamer than anyone else I know. Her mum should be proud of her.
Is this what you do in college, young lady? You stay up all night and bring boys back to your room?
The woman fumes.
Poor Noah was worried sick about you, and we drive all this way to find you running around with these strangers.
Strangers? The way Noah's backing up slowly toward the door without noticing it as the woman's voice grows louder, I get the feeling he's even more brainwashed than Tessa, dearest. I can't help it. I speak up before Tessa gets a chance to reply.
Actually, I just got here, and she wasn't doing anything wrong.
Tessa gapes at me like I'm insane to go up against her mum. For her part, her mother can't seem to believe it either. And their disbelief makes me laugh inside. These people have no idea what I'm capable of.
Excuse me? I certainly was not speaking to you. I don't know what someone like you is doing hanging around my daughter anyway.
The douche in the corner stays silent, as he should.
Mother,
Tessa says, attempting to be as threatening as possible. She looks at me briefly. Her eyes are harder than usual. I can't tell if it's from embarrassment or anger that there's such fire coming out. Her mum isn't fazed.
Teresa, you're out of control.
She speaks through her teeth.
I can smell the liquor on you from here, and I can only assume that this is the influence of your lovely roommate and him,
she says, looking directly at me, pointing at me. If she knew me, she would put that finger right back down.
I'm 18, Mother,
Tessa begins, but she already sounds defeated.
I've never drunk before, and I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just doing what every other college student is doing. I'm sorry that my cell phone battery died, and that you drove all the way here, but I'm fine.
Tessa sits on the edge of her chair. I don't like how uncomfortable they make her. She's like a stranger to me as she sits, timidly waiting for the next blow from the bitch. I don't move, even when the hurricane in this woman's eyes focuses back on me.
Young man, could you leave us for a minute?
She's not really asking, and her young man might sound polite, but really she's just trying that bitchy thing where she talks down to me while seeming reasonable. I grew up around rich kids. I know that move. I look over at Teresa, making sure she understands that I won't leave unless she's okay to face her mum and boyfriend alone. She nods, but I can see the confusion in her grey eyes. I go, as requested, my chest burning. Chapter 11. When he began to see her in his dreams, it terrified him. She was now swallowing him whole, taking every ounce of him and running off with it. It terrified him to think about the things she could do to him once she was in. He didn't want to allow it, but he didn't have the strength to fight it. He had always thought of himself as strong. He ruled everything, until she came in and took his crown. I wait and wait for Tessa's dorm room door to open, and for her mum and her minion to leave. Minute after minute goes by, and I begin to question my sanity. Why am I waiting for her? What will I even say to her when her visitors leave? Will she want to talk to me at all? Maybe she will if I apologize for letting her kiss me. That may solve all of the problems here. Finally, the door opens and her mum walks out, casting an imperious eye down at me where I lean against a neighbor's door. On her heels is Tessa, her hands snugly wrapped around Noah's. I get to my feet, not quite sure what to say, but feeling the need to say, to do something.
We're going to go into town,
Tessa tells me, and what can I do but nod and let them go on their way? I can't stop looking at Tessa's hand in her boyfriend's. She flushes and pulls away as her mum gives me the fakest smile I've ever seen.
I really don't like that guy, I hear Mr. Rogers say. Me either,
Tessa quietly responds. Which is for the best, because I don't really like her either. When I get to my car, my phone's vibrating in the cup holder. I reach for it and answer when I see Molly's name across the screen. She says one word, hair pulling, and hangs up. 5 minutes later, I walk into Molly's apartment without knocking, and her roommate glares at me, smoke pouring from her mouth. The whites of her eyes flicker beneath heavy mascara, and she takes another hit of her cigarette.
She's in her room.
Molly's lying in her bed, her head propped up on a mound of pillows, and her bare legs spread wide open. Her room is small, the light blue walls covered in photos from fashion magazines, mostly black and white pictures that she's clipped and taped up. Her bed is positioned against the wall, farthest from the door, and her room has no windows. I would hate to be trapped in a room with no windows. No wonder she's never here. She gestures for me to join her on the bed. Her pink hair is wild, tied on top of her head in a nest.
Well, 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 look who it is,
she taunts when I sit next to her. Lifting her skirt up farther, she exposes black panties. She runs her hands down her thighs, circling them around their lacy edges. You called me, I remind her.
And you came,
she chirps, reciting the line in a sarcastic and proud voice. Don't get too excited. I was bored and you made yourself available. Shrugging my shoulders, I look over at her. Her brows are furrowed, and she's pretending to be offended.
This is true,
she laughs, and I shake my head at her shameless behavior. Molly's hand is cold when she wraps it around my arm and pulls me closer to her. The scars on her wrist shine in the half-light from the lamp on her side table. Molly's lips press to my neck, and I try not to picture Tessa's full lips. Molly climbs down my body, her hands reaching for the buttons on my jeans. She pops them open quickly and drags my pants and boxers down my legs. I lift up, helping her undress me while trying to convince myself that I want this. This is fun. This is what people like me do for fun. People like me and Molly. Fucked up people. I have my issues, and she has her own. Ones she fortunately hasn't ever tried to tell me about. Ones I don't give enough fucks about to even consider asking her about. I know she likes me. That's all I need to know. Her tongue licks at the head of my cock, teasing me. I don't do teasing. So I reach for a handful of her pink hair, guiding her mouth to take all of me. She gags slightly, and I release her. I know she likes it rough. In fact, rougher than I'm willing to go with her, ever. Tessa's hair thick in my fist. I pull tighter. Her mouth is so wet, so warm. Her tongue moves over me with more aggression than I would have imagined. Her hands glide down my thighs. Her nails are longer than I remember.
Harden,
she moans, and takes another lick, drawing me between her lips. Her voice is high-pitched and feels off.
Fuck, Tessa.
The moment the words come out, Tessa's full lips deflate. Molly immediately tenses and pulls away from me.
Really?
I clear my throat.
What?
She rolls her eyes.
I heard you.
You didn't hear anything, and even if you did, don't act like you haven't called me Loke.
Shut up!
She holds up a hand and waves it dramatically.
Do you want me to finish?
And just like that, her tone's changed back to playful, and I realize she's looking at me with this weird, sympathetic expression. Like she needs to feel sorry for me or some shit. The idea infuriates me. She's just as lonely and fucked up as I am. Who is she to feel bad for me? No, I pull my pants back up, and when I stand up and push my phone into my pocket, she still has that look. My anger means nothing to her.
I'm not walking you out,
she says with a laugh, back to her normal nihilism for a moment. But then she adds,
be careful with this shit. Girls like her don't ever end up with fuck-ups like you.
Her eyes grow even sadder for me, and I feel like puking all over her black rug. I know she's not even trying to insult me. She's being real and honest, but I don't need her advice. I don't want to end up with Tessa. I want to fuck her and win. That's all. Without another word, I walk out and drive back to my house. Chapter 12. The pounding at the door won't stop. The man behind the door calls my name, and I try to be as quiet as I can when I open the closet door and hide inside. I close the door and wait, covering my ears as the pounding gets louder.
Get out here now!
His voice booms. My father is drunk again. He's drunk every night now. With one final hit, his fist snaps the wood on the door, and the cracking of the wood sends a shiver down my spine. I hate that I'm afraid of him. I shouldn't be. I'm 12, and I'm pretty tall for my age. I should be able to defend myself. Why am I afraid? Because I'm so pathetic. His voice mixes with the other men's voices. Are they here again? I'm not sure. They shouldn't be because he is, but maybe he wouldn't protect us anyway. The closet door opens, and I scoop back against the wall until I have nowhere left to hide. I wake with a shout, screaming into the empty, lonely space. I've stayed in this room for nearly 3 days straight.